to share this morning with you guys just a brief story. I went to college at the University of Oregon. Shortly after I started following Jesus, I was discipled by a guy named Steve. And there was a group of us that Steve would invest in. There was a guy named Evan, a guy named Timon, a guy named Levi, and a guy named Seth. And this one night, Steve said, "Hey, I want to take you guys out to the lava fields out in Central Oregon." We were in Eugene, and so it wasn't too far to drive over there. And we head out there, and he's like, "Bring your Bibles, bring a headlamp, bring a backpack, bring some water." And so we head out there. And we're sitting down, we're hanging out, and Steve kind of, as he always would, he gave us this question just to consider and talk about. I don't remember what it was, but here we are just kind of talking, and then Steve stands up, and he's like, "Hey, I need to actually go use the bathroom, like, I'll be back." So he just kind of meanders off, and he leaves us, and we're sitting here talking. And it was right about the time, it was probably about 9:30, so sun is going down. It was, you know, right, it's kind of summerish time, springtime. And all of a sudden, we're in the dark. And so we turn on our headlamps, and we're talking, whatever. And all of a sudden, we hear Steve's voice off in the distance a little bit. And he's like, "Hey, guys, come here." And we're like, "Where are you?" Because there was, you know. And he's like, come to me, come here. And we're like, "Okay." And he's like, "But turn off your headlamps." So we turn off our headlamps. And what he does is then he turns on a lamp. And he's holding a lamp wherever he is out in the distance there. And we're now in the dark. And he's like, "Come on, come here. I got to show you guys something." And we've got a little bit of moonlight, you know what I mean? But for the most part, we couldn't see immediately around us. But we were like starting to navigate across these lava fields to where Steve is in the distance. And if you can imagine, if you've ever been out there, it's craggy, it's uneven, it's not, I mean, there's some paths in it. But he had taken us to this little like spot where it wasn't that anymore. And we actually had to navigate down. And as we're going down, we're like nicking up our legs and our knees and everything because we can't see immediately what's around us. But we know we're supposed to get over there to where Steve is because he has something really cool to show us over there. And as we're navigating through it, the five of us, and we're getting nicked up and dinged up, he's like, "Okay, pause now." And we're like, "What?" And he's like, "Okay, go ahead, turn on your headlamps." And so we turn on our headlamps, and suddenly we could actually see around us here, and we could see where Steve was off in the distance. I have just a couple weeks left to speak to you guys as your lead pastor. As the team and I were kind of planning what would be appropriate to speak about over these last couple weeks, you know, Kelly and Vicky and the team kind of looked at me and just said, "Why don't you just share from your heart? There's no point in like doing another series or doing something that way." And I thought, okay, that sounds good. That sounds right, as I prayed through it. And so this morning, I want to share with you guys about something that has always been near and dear to me and that I hope you have experienced through the ministry that God has entrusted me over these years. I want to talk to you about the Word of God. I want to talk to you about what I believe it is and why I believe God gave it to us and what I believe His heart is for us as a people and following Him. And I want to start this morning by just looking and reading real briefly for you Psalm 119, 105, which says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And if you think about the story that I shared with you and what we experienced as college students that one night, and what God's word is saying here is that this, I believe that God has given us His word both to show us and illuminate the things right around us, to preserve us and prevent us from danger and harm, getting all nicked up and dinged up from the cracks and crags of life, but also as a guidepost that stands out there in the distance that we can aim for and guide toward and be moving in the direction of something that is good, that is right, that is true, that is purposeful. You tracking with me? See, it's true if you've ever been in an experience like mine that you need both. You need a lamp for your feet and you need a light for your path if you're going to navigate anything out in the wilderness, or if we're honest, just anything in life. If I have a light for my path that's way out there, but I don't have a lamp for my feet, I may know where I'm going, but if I can't see what's right around here, I'm going to fall and trip, get dinged up, sprain my ankle, do whatever, and it's going to be a hot mess and it's going to be a treacherous journey. But if I have the lamp for my head here, the lamp for my feet, but I don't have a light for my path, you guys have probably all seen like the cartoon or the story where like they're just wandering in circles because all they can see is like what's around in front of them and there's nothing to guide and you're just doing this, right? You've seen those pictures before, right? Yeah. See, but God has not left us in either of those precarious situations. What God has done is to give us both a lamp for our feet and a light for our path because of His love for us, because of His care for us, because He knows and understands what it is to be human in this world that is broken and not existing as He created it to be, but yet His heart to lead and to guide us to live in the fullness of life the way He created it to be through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that and just share from that and give us an experience to engage, hopefully, and experience God in this world. Because there's a couple things that I think are true right now. I think right now we are more divided and intellectually lost than ever before as a society and a people. Real quick, even the events that happened yesterday, horrible. Shouldn't be happening in our country. All of a sudden you read, and I'm not even on social media, but I get posts from people and news, and it's like, what happened? Did he really get shot? Why? How is he bleeding? Who did it? Was it planned? Was it not? Like, there's no truth out there anymore. Everybody's got their opinion. Everybody can throw something out. Everybody is just throwing their info in there, and you go, how do I sort through this? How do I discern what's going on? And you take it away from big major events, you can just put it kind of in your neighborhood. I was at a wedding recently and was sitting at a table with a guy who's an investigative reporter. And my wife asked him, what's it like to be an investigative reporter in this day and age? And he's like, oh my gosh, like everybody's got their POI, their public or PIO, public information officer. Like you can't even go directly people anymore and get a true and honest story. Everything has to go through and flow through these channels so that it has the right spin on it and the right words on it. And he's going, it's so frustrating because who do you trust? How do you know what's true? How do you base and make any decisions on anything that is just so muddled and murky and all this stuff? We've got more access to information than we ever have. We've got more potential knowledge, and yet all of it is just so confusing. And I think we're more, again, divided and intellectually lost than we ever have been in culture as a people. And so I think it's crucial that we, as followers of Jesus, have a firm foundation in the Word of God. That we know and believe what this really is, and that we align our hearts and our minds to the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus. That we know how to engage, yes, the questions of culture and the questions that are spinning within our own hearts and minds. And we know how, with humility, to bring it to the scripture, to bring it to the word of God, to bring it into the presence of God, and to sit there with the scripture, with the spirit, and allow God to speak to us. My heart this morning, and my heart always has been, that this word, that this Bible, the words on these pages would be more than just information for us, more than just knowledge, but it actually would be leading us to the heart of God, to experience His love, His grace, His wisdom, His mercy, His kindness towards us, and that we would know and learn how to navigate and engage with it, to sit with it as a key part of our personal relationship with God. If you think about relationship, one of the key things is what? It's communication. Without communication in any relationship, it's not going to work. And God is the God of communication. I want to just put up a simple slide that I made that I, over the years, has guided me in thinking about how can I be confident in approaching the Word of God and what can be my posture. And I want to remind you this, that first and foremost, God is a communicator. God is relational, right? He's the God of relationship. The God, as we just sang, praise the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. God Himself exists in relationship, exists in community. He's a communicating God, a relational God. That's who we know. That's who we serve. That's who we're invited to walk with, as a God who's a communicator. The second truth to remember that's important as we come to the Scriptures is that we've been given Holy Spirit. We've been given Holy Spirit, who Jesus said in John 14 to 16 is that he's the counselor. He's the paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside and walks with and guides. He's the voice of truth. That's who Holy Spirit is that we've been given. He's the helper. Thirdly, that we're the people of God. That we've been saved by grace through faith. We've been saved by a loving God, a loving creator, again, who loves us and wants to communicate with us. The author of Hebrews would say that we can have boldness and confidence in approaching God, approaching the throne room of God because of what He's done in Christ. Because when He looks at us, He doesn't look and go, I'm not sure I know you or understand you. Or No, like there's no distance. Like He welcomes us. We're His people. We're His children. I love, Kelly constantly reminds us to think about we're the covenant children, the covenant sons and daughters. That's who God views us as. That's how God views you. You're His. You belong to Him. And thirdly, that as we come to Scripture, to remember that we share in the gifts of God. We share in the grace of God. That over and over, there's grace upon grace available to us here. It's a never-ending trove, in a sense, of gifts of the grace of God poured out for us individually and personally, but also as a community. And so with that in mind, kind of that posture, that mindset, I want to look at a couple passages today before I lead us in kind of meditating on a passage. But I want to just kind of look at and share a few things that, again, I believe are central, and have always guided my heart and my understanding about the Word, and I hope would guide yours as well. Some of you might be familiar with a man named Paul, and Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And Paul, in the letter to Timothy, there's two of them, he's writing to this young leader, this young preacher. And he's writing to encourage Timothy in the verses that we're going to look at, to encourage this young leader in the work of God through his word. And Paul writes this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. He says this. He says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God," or other translations actually say the messenger of God, "may be competent, equipped for every good work." I'm going to read that again. I want to invite you to think about the progression that you see here. It says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the messenger of God," the person of God, "may be competently equipped for every good work." Now, Paul's reminding Timothy, as he's encouraging him as a young leader to go out and proclaim the word of God, one thing that's really clear here that he's trying to get at is this, that all scripture is breathed out by God. Kind of the theological term, the fancy word for this would be inspiration, right? The words on this page, that what we believe as followers of Jesus is that these aren't just the words of man, but that God himself, through his Holy Spirit, inspired, impressed upon the hearts and the minds of people hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, what it is on his heart and on his mind that he wants to communicate within the world through the written word. That this is actually God's word. This isn't, again, this isn't human. This isn't a person's perspective or their thoughts or their ideologies or looking at the situation and going, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. I don't know what really happened. This is a clear message from the heart of God, from the mind of God to humanity. It's a gift. It's a major gift that we've been entrusted with in that regard. And Paul says this. Paul says that this gift that we've been given, this word that's from God's heart, it goes through a gracious progression. There's a gracious process every time we come to it that we can enter into. And that gracious progression is this, that there was inspiration that leads to teaching, or what we might call revelation. And from that teaching, there's a place of reproof. Reproof being pointing out error, right? And from that point of error and reproof, there's correction that can happen, being redirected. And in that, from that redirection, then there's training that can happen. And training is what? It's instruction or a practice over and over and over again, over a period of time. That all of this is the work of God. All of this is the work of God's grace. And all of this is what God desires that we enter into anytime we sit and engage in the Word. That we remember and even experience through the work of Holy Spirit that this is the inspired Word of God. And God's given it to teach us, to bring revelation, to bring new insight, to bring new instruction to our lives regarding every area. I sat with a friend recently, newer in the faith, on his faith journey, and we were reading through some stuff together, and he shared, he just goes, "I didn't know actually that Scripture even spoke about love and marriage like this. No one's ever sat down and showed me any of that. I didn't know that that was a thing. Well, Scripture actually has a lot to say about marriage, and it's pretty good." I was like, yeah. I remember a few years ago sitting down with a friend, and she kind of had told me, "I actually don't really like reading the Word of God that much." And I was like, "Why?" And she's like, "Because every time I come to it, I just end up feeling guilty." And I was like, "And so what do you do?" And she's like, I close it and I walk away. And she goes, "For now, it's been like 6 months since I've opened up the Word, maybe longer." And I had to sit there and talk with her just through the reality of that's not the full process. First and foremost, condemnation is not from God. That's not from his heart, right? You guys all know that and believe that? But conviction is, keep that slide up for me, please. Conviction is that, put that slide back up, please. Conviction is that reproof part. Conviction is the reproof part where, yes, there are things where we need to be pointed out the error in our lives. And by God's grace, he's given us his word to do it. But look, this is a gracious progression, and God, he doesn't just leave us there, does he? In that place of, this is your error, this is where you're thinking wrongly about something. What he does by his Spirit and by his grace is he moves us into the place of correction, the redirection. How many of you guys are parents or educators or ever interacted with a kid? What do you know about redirection then? Probably quite a lot, and you wish you could put it in practice a little bit better, right? That's God's heart too. God never just comes to us like us as parents and goes, "You're wrong in that, kid," and da 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 da. No, but what does he do? He says, "Look, there's error going on here. There's something that's not right here. This isn't exactly as I designed it or intended it to be. And if you continue in this path, it's not going to be helpful, nor healthy, nor fruitful for you, nor the people around you. And so let me redirect you a little bit. Let me lead and guide you into a path that is more right, more true, more healthy, more whole, more good, more proper, more righteous, more benefit in it. And in his grace, what does he do? He doesn't just do that once, that redirection, but God's all about the training. It's the instruction and it's the practice over a period of time, over and over and over again by grace. This is what Paul says the word of God is for and given to us for as he's talking to Timothy, this young leader who he's entrusting the care of a number of churches that he's now about to teach and preach and train in. He says, remember, Timothy, and remember, church, this is what the word of God is. It's a gift of grace written from the heart and the mind of God, entrusted to us for all of these things, a holistic, gracious process to lead us and to guide us, ultimately into the reality of the kingdom. I want to read another quick passage for you in 2 Peter. Now, this is another voice. This is Peter, and he's writing to churches in Asia Minor. And he has just shared, the verses above this, he had just shared with him how he was fortunately an eyewitness to the transfiguration, meaning when Jesus was glorified and brought up. And he says, his focus here is on what is the source, what's the power and the trustworthiness of Scripture in the midst of their culture, which was confusing. This was the first century church as they're just trying to get birthed. And Peter writes this, and he says, we have something more sure. The something more sure, meaning we have something more sure than all the cultural stories spinning around us. We have the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Again, Peter affirming and going, this isn't just somebody's ideas on a paper. This isn't just made up by human ideas, intellect, thought, whatever. This is the word of God. This is the loving creator God, his word, his heart, his mind, his thoughts shared to us, given to us. Peter was saying, by talking about his experience with the transfiguration and seeing that, and then using the word prophecy here, he's talking about the fact that both the Old Testament, which was a lot of prophecy that was foretelling that Christ was to come and everything that would happen, that both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this is true about both. Both of these were given by God, written from his heart for humanity for a clear purpose. And he was saying that unlike, again, the cultural narratives of the day, that Scripture is actually completely reliable. It's 100% true. It comes from God's heart. Peter's intent here was to encourage and urge the church, the first church, to make the message about Jesus the center of their lives and to take it seriously. To let it be the place, the thing that was their foundation. I believe that when Peter writes this and he says, you will do well to pay attention to this because it serves as a lamp shining in a dark place. Culturally, in our context today, Peter basically would be saying, don't forget to smash the like button and hit subscribe because this is good and trustworthy and you want this channel playing over and over and over in front of you. Why? Because it's the real stuff. This is the good stuff. This is what you need. This is the channel to subscribe to. All the other stuff, not as trustworthy. All the other stuff, not as true. All the other stuff, not as consistent. All the other stuff, it's just human idea. But this is God's heart written to you. The final one I want to look at with you this morning, before I take us to another passage to consider, Hebrews 4:12. This is the author of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews, we don't know who that is. But he's writing to talk about what can be or what will be the impact on the human life when we read and we engage with God's word. And he says this, for the word of God is living and it is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The author of Hebrews here is writing and remind us of the effectiveness and the powerfulness of what God's word is able to do, that it's capable of producing the intended result for which God wrote it, for which God sent it, for which God put it out there. It says that it's able to separate spiritual things which seem completely intertwined and can be confusing. It says that the Word of God, when you read it with a humble posture, believing that it is God's Word and that the Spirit is at work and you invite Him to speak to you, that it uncovers and separates the hidden things in my heart and in my life and my mind. The things that are hard to reach, even to myself. The things that are seemingly indistinguishable within myself. It says that the Word of God has the ability to help us know and discern even what's going on within me and to know what's good and what's evil. What's the thing that I should follow versus what's the thing that I need to take captive and bring it before the Lord and allow Him to take me through that process of correction and reproof and redirection and guidance so that I can be led in training into what is right and true and healthy and good. The author of Hebrews here says it penetrates the depths of our being and it has the ability to transform us from the inside out. When he talks about it, it separates joint and marrow. It's talking about the fact that our bones, right? The joint is probably the hardest part because it's the thickest. But it's saying the Word of God, because of the work of the Spirit, it doesn't just hit like something over and over, but it goes down into the soft places, the marrow, where life actually is, where the nutrients flow, where that gives healing and health and life to all the rest of the body. He's saying that's what the Word of God is like. It gets in there and it works its way in. Into the soft places and sending out life and goodness to bring health and vitality to the whole of who we are. That's God's heart. That's God's intention. That's what Scripture is. One of my favorite passages actually in Scripture to look at and to think about, there's a few within Psalms. I love Psalm 1. I'm not going to have time to go there. I love Psalm 119. It talks all about the Word. We don't have time to read through that whole thing. But Psalm 19 is also a really beautiful psalm that throughout my years I've always turned back to. If I've ever had seasons where I'm wrestling or feeling dry or thinking, God, what? Psalm 19 is a place where I can always go and sit. I want to read that with you this morning. Psalm 19, 1 through 6 reads this. Good. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." Let's just pause there for a second. The author of this psalm, who we believe is David, he's writing and saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. Again, that God is a communicator. And God is communicating always and constantly, even through His creation. That the Creator communicates through His creation. How many of you have ever experienced that? Right? You go out in nature and you just sit there and you go, and you feel so small, and yet if you know the Lord, you feel so loved. You feel so small, and that there's this huge story out there being written. There's something going on, but yet you feel caught up and invited into it to participate in the beauty and the grandeur of this story. That as you stand there in nature, you just go, this is true. Like, this is good. I wish I could just stay here and not have to go back to all the digital and all the, right? Like, your soul can breathe out there. David, thousands of years ago, is writing and saying, all of creation is telling the good story. Why? Because God is the creator and God is a communicator. And even the story of creation is telling the good story that he's written. Paul would say in Romans chapter 1, he would say that is made clear to everybody and we should be able to see even through creation who God is and who Christ is, and yet our eyes have been blinded. But we'll leave that for another day. I want to read for you verses 7 through 11 of the rest of what David writes here. Because where David goes next is to say that God is not only the creator who is the communicator, who is speaking and telling his story through creation, but he's also captured it for us somewhere else. His heart and his mind and his intentions for his creation have also been recorded somewhere else. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening his eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than any gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. If you'd humor me for a second, I want to invite you all to close your eyes. And I want to read this passage here again and allow you just to hear it. And my invitation is to consider, do any of these things jump out at you as I read them? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. This morning, are you in need of soul reviving and spiritual refreshment in a tiring and draining season? Or maybe you're in need of wisdom in the midst of confusion or options that you need to weigh. Maybe you're in a season where you need joy or a reason for rejoicing because everything around you just seems so challenging. Maybe you need enlightenment in darkness right now. Maybe you're looking for something that's enduring and something that's lasting among fleeting fads and ideologies out there. Right now, you're looking maybe for something that's righteous in the face of wickedness and injustice. Maybe you're in the need of something to invest in that's worth more than gold, something that only has positive ROI. Maybe right now you're looking for some sweet news because you're in the middle of a season that's bitter. Or right now, you're wishing for some foresight, some forewarning, some guidance, because the journey ahead is uncertain and unstable. Friends, maybe you're looking for something that's perfect and sure, that's right, that's pure, that's clean, that's true, and that holds for you a great reward. That's God's word. That's God's word. The thing that you're seeking, the thing that you're searching, if one of those resonated with you, it's here. It's here for you. Because God is a great communicator, and God loves you. God has given you his Holy Spirit, and he's given you his word. You're part of the family of God. You're his people, you're his person. He sees you, he knows you, he loves you. He's holding nothing back from you. The gifts of his grace are yours. It's here. I appreciate what Jesus said. In the Gospel of Luke, there is this scenario. I think it actually might be the recording of kind of similar to Matthew's like Sermon on the Mount. I think it was kind of Luke's recording of it. And there was this, Jesus was teaching and he was these amazing sayings and all these things. And it's recorded in Luke chapter 11 that this woman comes up to him and says, "Oh my goodness, like blessed is the woman who birthed you and whose breasts at whom you nursed." Like, and she's exalting Mary, right? And this is Jesus' response, Luke 11:28. Jesus says this, "No, blessed rather are those who hear the word and keep it." Blessed rather are those who hear the word and keep it. And what's his invitation? What's he saying? He's saying, no, it's not just this one woman who God used miraculously to birth me into the world. Yeah, that's amazing. Great. She was humble. She was obedient, beautiful, perfect, awesome, all that stuff. Great, great, great. That's amazing. But Jesus goes, no. And it's not about just one woman. Jesus says, blessed are all, rather, who hear these words that I speak and keep them. You hear the invitation there? Blessed are you, and you, and you, and me, and you, and you, and you, and everyone, anyone that hears these words, believes and understands that they are God's words, not man's, that they have the power to bring correction and direction and healing and training and reproof and sweetness, all of these things, stability, guidance in our lives. Blessed are you who hear this. I've tried over my years of opening the word for us to invite us to remember and to think that I think there's two most important questions that we can actually ask in life are this. One, what is God saying to me? And two, what am I going to do about it? That no matter where you are in life, if God is the communicator, he is speaking to you. He is saying something to you. When you're out hiking in nature, yes. When you're sitting in your cubicle at work, yes. When you're sitting at home on the Zoom meeting, yes. When you're there on the floor with your kids, yes. When you're riding in the car, yes. No matter where you are, God is the communicator who has given you the Spirit. He loves you and he cares for you. And no matter where we are, no matter what situation we're in, I think the most important we can be asking is, what is God saying to me? In conjunction with that, to know though and go in all of those scenarios, I can take all of that stuff and bring it though here to this and to engage with this, God's heart written, revealed, the living word, and in here as well, being, God, what are you saying to me? And then to consider, do I want to live in a blessed life or not, according to Jesus' words? It's not just to hear it, but then it's what? To do it, to keep it. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I remember sitting with that gal who a number of years ago had said, I haven't touched God's word in 6 months or maybe more, because I only felt walking through a process with her to bring her and show her, no, condemnation is never from God. Conviction is yes, and what God wants to do is lead you and guide you through this, and for her to go, oh my gosh, like yes. And for her to begin to go, I see this and I hear this, and now she started to then change, make changes in her life regarding the word, and her to go, oh my, like it's way better. It's fruitful. It's actually true. There's this guy, that G.K. Chesterton, that lived a long time ago, and Kelly and I love to kind of quote him every so often, but one of the things that he would say is that it's not that Christianity or following Jesus or even like getting into God's word has been tried and then found unfulfilled, but the truth and the reality, the sad story, is that we've actually never really even tried it. We've actually never really even given it a chance to do what God says it will do. Maybe for some reason, whatever it is, you've come to a place or a season where you haven't engaged with God's word in a while, whatever, and you're just at that place going, I don't know, this can't be true, I can't be real, whatever. I'd invite you to reconsider. Would you try God's grace? Would you step into the mind frame, in the mindset that this really is God's word written from his heart? It's not just some human thing. This week, literally, I sat with a guy who was a leader in a church for a good season. He's no longer there. Unfortunately, he's in the psychology field like that I'll be going into. And I was sitting talking with him, and we were just in this conversation. He goes, yeah, one of the things I like to think about or talk about is like whenever there's people come up against something of nature or something of following God, he's like, I always encourage them to go with nature because that's like probably always true. And the things about following God, it's always just man-made up. And I was like, wait, what? What? Wow, right? Wow. This was a dude who was leading in the church, following, and all of a sudden he's just entered so much into the things of the world that he goes, if something just feels natural versus something aligned with God's word, I'm going to always pick nature because that's more true and real. I'm like, what? But here's the thing, even if you're there, friends, God's grace, God's wooing you and drawing you even this morning to realize and go, no, that's not true. God's word is truth. It's not man-made. It's not made up. It's God's heart written down for you, drawing you into life, into his kingdom, into his goodness. But here's something that we need to be honest about and consider. Until our beliefs and our values align, we're not motivated to take any action. Okay? So here's what I invite you to consider, just kind of a real practical note. Even if you go, yep, I agree, Pastor. I believe God's a communicator. I believe he's given me the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is all a gift of grace. I believe all those things that you've pointed out there. I believe those things. Check them off. Go back, please. You got to ask yourself honestly, but what are my values? What are my values? Because you and I actually, we take action based upon what? Not our beliefs, although we think we do. It's actually based upon our values. And so I might believe, again, that this is all true. But if I value somebody else's voice more than I actually value God's voice, guess where I'm going to turn every morning or sometime during my day? I'm going to turn to that channel as opposed to this channel. If I value my wisdom and my knowledge more than I value God's wisdom and knowledge, guess whose knowledge I'm going to turn to? If I value my friends, I've got this tight-knit group of friends. They're great people. They're even followers of Jesus. But if I value their voice in my life more than I value God's voice in my life, guess where I'm going to go for my input and my access, my direction, my guidance? If I value my time and these other things more so than I value actually spending time with the creator of the world who's inviting me to sit at his feet and hang out with him, guess where I'm going to spend my time? So I want to encourage us to consider a couple things this morning. What do you believe, honestly, about God and his word? And take time to consider and go, what do I actually believe about it? And no matter where you're at in the belief, it's okay. We're all in process, we're all on journey. But what do you actually believe? Because I think that it is important for us to think and go, what do I believe this is? What do I believe it was given for? What do I believe its intention, its power, its purpose? But second, what do you believe is the value of the Word of God? Because again, you're going to act on your values, not just on your beliefs. So what do I actually believe the value of this is? The psalmist said that all that is held here is more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold. It's sweeter than honey and the drippings of honey. In keeping it, there is great reward. What do you think the value? Do you think there's reward? Do you think this is worth more than gold? Do you think this is the sweetest thing, sweeter than any honey, anything you've ever tasted in life? Is this that? Does it have that value? Because you're going to treat it according to how you actually value it, not what you believe about it. And then to consider and ask, do your values conflict with your beliefs when it comes to engaging in relationship with God through his word? I want to leave you with this quote. And then the actual application questions. But I appreciate this about C.S. Lewis. He said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and you can change the ending. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and you can change the ending. Friends, this is what I want you to hear this morning. No matter where you are in relationship with God or in relationship with God and his word, Whatever your relationship has been with it, up until the moment you walked into this door, you can't go back and change that, right? Everybody agree with that? True? But from this day forward, I hope this morning you're hearing an invitation. Not condemnation. That's not God's heart, and that's never been mine for this community. But an invitation. You can start where you are, and you can change the ending. Again, if you're in a season that feels dry and bitter and your soul is in need of refreshment, it's here for you. If you're in a season where you need wisdom, it's here for you. If you're in a season where you need righteousness and truth, it's here for you. If you're in a season where you need encouragement and you need something to invest in that you can count on, it's here for you. No matter what season you're in, I pray this morning that you hear the invitation of God's heart, his love for you, his grace for you, his mercy, his kindness towards you, to draw you in and invite you to spend time with him. And on the practical note, if there's any way that I can guide or encourage, I'd love to have a conversation with you to go, how do you even begin to get into the word and begin to open it and allow it to be something that is real, that is true, that is vibrant, where I actually meet the Lord and it's not just information. I'd love to sit and talk with you about that. So here's the application. What's God saying to you this morning? What invitation do you hear, do you sense from Jesus? And then how do you want to respond? In other words, what are you going to do about it? The thing I love about the Lord and what I've experienced in his word over the years is that he never forces anything on me. It's there, it's clear, it's true, it's simple, it's direct, but it's always gracious. And I always have the choice. Do I want to engage with this or not? Do I want to experience more life according to your way or not? So this morning, what do you sense? What are you feeling? How's your heart wanting to respond? What do you want to do about it? And lastly, I'd invite you to do this. Would you share this week then, based upon what you're sensing, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing here this morning, would you share with a trusted friend who can lovingly encourage you in your response? Who would lovingly walk with you and partner with you to go, yeah, I'll walk with you in that. The invitation that you feel, the thing that you're sensing you want to do. I'll walk with you in that. I want to pray and then invite Kelly and the worship team to come up. And, this morning, again, we're going to take communion. The Word talks a lot about the fact that Jesus actually is the Word, right? The living Word. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. He was the Word. And then he goes on to say, and that Word entered into our world, basically, full of grace and of truth. And as you come to the table this morning, I want to invite you to remember and consider that God is the communicator, and where he is communicated to us more than anywhere else is in his Word and in the life and the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And his Son, Jesus Christ, ultimately in obedience to the Word of God, in line with the Holy Spirit, went ultimately to the cross to die, and not only die there, but to rise again in order that we might have life and to experience it. But this morning, what's on the table in front of us is a tangible reminder of the extent of God's love for us, of the extent of Christ's love for us, the embodiment of the Word, the truth of God, that his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us in order that we might live in the reality of new covenant life, that we could experience life anew, truth, purity, righteousness, justice, goodness, kindness, mercy, wisdom, all the things that Christ is, all the things that God's Word is, represented here for you this morning to receive it. And so God, this morning, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you are worthy of our praise. And God, I thank you that you are the great communicator. You are the creator and the communicator. And God, thank you that you created each and every single person here this morning in this room, on Zoom, every person we're into. But God, I thank you that, yeah, your Spirit is at work in this world, in our lives. And it's always to draw us into yourself. It's always to woo us. It's always to remind us that we're beloved, that we're loved, that we're yours. And so, Lord, I ask that you would draw us individually and as a community closer to yourself through the proclamation and through the revelation of your Word. Jesus, thank you that you are the living Word, and all that you display, all that you embody is the heart and the message of God for us, and it's also here on these pages of Scripture. So Holy Spirit, work, help us to be moved into a place of valuing you, valuing your Word to a greater degree than we do for each of us, God, in order that our hearts would be drawn in, that they would be reproofed, that they would be redirected, that we would receive training, that we would experience newer and fuller life in you, Jesus, and because of your Word at work within us. God, we love you. We thank you for your Word this morning. Continue to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.